Title of my sermon, that sermon today is Church of God, Social Institution. Now, I'm sure most of you, I know I have been following what's been going on these college campuses. It's quite disturbing to see it. And I thought about it because when I was in college, I took a course, Sociology 101, I'm sure Joshua might be lucky to take that because it talks about institutions. So the question becomes, what is an institution? An institution is social institutions are established patterns of beliefs, behaviors, and relationships that organize social life and exist to meet society's needs, such as providing structure, guidance, and order. And examples of social institutions include family, education, government, economy, and religion. Now, my teenage years, I grew up in the 60s. And during that time, I can think back and I could see where some of these institutions were being torn down, that they were being changed, and did it alter the behavior of our culture? It most certainly did. You know, with the free love, all that stuff that went there, it changed things. And one of the things that were affected was family. Now family, as a social institution, the family serves numerous multifaceted functions. The family socializes. That's key. Its members by teaching them values, beliefs, and norms. The family is one of the most important social institutions. It is a building block of society because it is the primary unit through which socialization occurs. It's where parents teach their children. And I read, you know, in history it said, this is the most important institution, the building block, because what takes place in the family is what shapes society in general. And if there's a breakdown in that, you will get a breakdown in society. It will change. And so I looked at this thing, family, and I wanted to go back how God created the family, what that purpose was. And when you go to Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That's pretty obvious, but generally what's going on out in the world in our society is what? They're saying there's more than two. Confusion? Does that have an effect on the family? Of course it does. And when your children go to these schools, this, I'm simply going to call it garbage, is taught them. Creates a conflict, creates a problem with what God did. And in Genesis 2:24, it says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. The two are united into one. Is that not true? It still goes on today, but the purpose, why God created male and female. Right there in 2:24, it is the beginning of a family. It may start out as a couple, a husband and wife, but the children will come. I have two daughters, lovely daughters, best thing that ever happened to me. Oh yeah, I mean, there was the usual problems when they get to teenage years, but they were taught right things, and they actually at times, especially my youngest, she'll remind me, Dad, I don't think you're supposed to be doing that. Are you thinking right there? And this comes from my daughter. And I go, you're right, Rachel, thank you. But they're great and wonderful things because our family is very, very close. The girls call us every day, and my daughter lives close by, and we have lunch together on Sundays. And she's also my accountant. And she is brutal when it comes to accounting and my business. But she's the accountant, and I have to go along with that. And then in Genesis 1:28, he says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it.'" Government is a social institution. So he's saying something here. And then in Malachi 2:15, it says, "Did he not make them one?" Didn't he just say that when a couple marry, that they become one? And he said, "With a portion of the Spirit in their union." Well, you know, for us that are in the church, that have the Holy Spirit, yes, that's very true. And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. "So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth." This union between a man and a wife is very, very important. But there's a big responsibility that comes from it. Godly offspring. Because when you go to Proverbs, there's some things there that it says. Even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure or whether it is right. How do you explain that one? I mean, like growing up when we were in high school and everything, we knew the bad ones from the good ones. You knew them by the way they acted. And could that possibly be a reflection on the parents? Why is this kid acting like this? Did his parents say it was right? I don't know. Sometimes children have their own problems. But there's a lot of truth in that. They are known by the way they act. And that includes us, even as adults. How do you behave in public? Is it different from the way you behave in church? That's something you should check yourself on. Because I know in the past, in my life, I've been caught on that. Kind of being hypocritical. Nothing serious, but it's the fact of the matter that it was going on. So, and then in Proverbs 22:6, it states, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." And I think each and every one of us in this room can agree with this, because I can remember way back, I mean, I was a kid, my mother teaching us certain things. She taught us how to hold, you know, knife and fork and do all the etiquette routine. But she also, my mother came from a middle class family. My father came from a wealthy family and all the vices that go along with that. But my mother taught us respect and to be honorable while we were young. And I can attest today, those very things that she taught me and my brothers, we practice today. It happens. And so I talk to people, you know, especially young parents, I said, start training them early. I think with our kids, we started at 6 months, where we taught them certain things. One of the things I taught my daughters is to be, don't be afraid to go against the current. Be your own self. Stand. You know what is right and you know what is wrong. Do the right thing. My daughters do that. That's something they were taught young. And they were in the church and worldwide. They were young. They're not in the church now. But they remember those things. And it shows also in the way that they act. So this is to be taken seriously. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I think you can look within yourself and agree with that. There are certain things that you have learned from your parents that you still practice today. I'm sure that you are aware of that. And then in Proverbs 22:15, this kind of answers the question. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. My brothers and I, there was 1 year between my older brother and me, I'm a middle child, and a year and a half between the younger. We got into things that was pure foolishness. We actually got in trouble. I mean, you know, we were out in the country just doing crazy things, bringing snakes home to mom and things like that, and turtles, and my mother did not like those snakes, but you know, it was just, they didn't bother us, you know. And it was just stupid things we would do. I mean, the fights we used to get into, the three of us, I mean, fights. And when my mother said, she said, you know, when you were younger and you guys were doing that, you were on first name basis with the emergency room. That's how it was, you know, this foolishness and falling out of trees, throwing things at one another, you know, and ended up getting stitches and things like that. But there were certain things we were punished for. And it made its point. We didn't do those things anymore. Yes, we were still foolish and everything, but there was a line. We knew what that line was, and we did not cross it. And I'm sure in your young life, it was the same thing. And even with your own children as you raise them, you draw certain lines. And they'll test you, they'll take it right to the line, they'll put that little toe over the line, and then they'll pay the price. After a while, they'll quit that. That's what that means. That the discipline, so discipline is part of growing up. It's part of being a parent. Because you have to remember and understand that the family is the most important social institution. It is a building block of society, because it is the primary unit through which socialization occurs, learning how to behave. It is so important because it begins in the family. I think there's a saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I think it's something like that. That's what it's saying. These things you learn as a young child and you carry with you, that if that breaks down, and I think we've seen the breakdown of the family in this country. I saw it in the 60s. The things that were going on there, then as it continues on. And then when you look at things today, the level of crime, the disrespect is overwhelming. I mean, it raises that flag. Where is this country going? Things are not good. And I look back at that building block. It starts in the family. Because I don't want to go too deep into it, where fathers are no longer in the family. Look at the trouble that has caused. It created a lot of confusion in those children. And then what was their behavior when they became older? It was the same. And the problems that it has created for this country are overwhelming. We're paying that price. So that's why I'm saying to you, parents, children, remember these things. Do your children a favor and teach them the right way to go, including God, His precepts, His laws, His rules of morality. Teach them while they're young so they carry it with them. And then there's another institution. I'm only dealing with two, not all five. I don't think I can get all five in the time. Religion. It says religion is another social institution that plays a significant role in society. It is a system of beliefs and practices to fill the need for meaning and purpose. As you were growing up, have you ever questioned, what is my life all about? Why am I here? Is it just to be alive for X number of years and then I disappear? We sought those answers. It's a philosophical answer question as well. the meaning of life and the purpose of it. You have been privileged, haven't you? What has God taught you? What has the church taught you about your meaning and purpose in life? That's what Pentecost is about. Because it's through that Holy Spirit that you understand what your purpose and meaning is in life. Those that don't know it don't know what to do. They want to get these answers, and they try many, many different things that does not bring them the answer because they have an attitude against religion, an attitude against God and His truth. You see it. It's in our society today. There's more and more anti-religious feelings going on out there now. The atheism, it's growing. And I read articles where they want to do away with it. There's prejudice. There's actions taken. Persecution against God. And then it continues. It says, religion is a system of beliefs and practices that is relative to sacred matters, things set apart and forbidden. Now we know we're set apart because of the path we have taken, where that good soil, where the Word of God took root. We understand His ways. Teaches us how to live, teaches us how to think, teaches us how to get along with our fellow man. And there's the forbidden. There are things that God has taught us, and it's very clear, these are forbidden things, do not do them. One of the problems that Israel had, back the children of Israel, was idolatry. It's forbidden. The Ten Commandments will introduce you to things you should not do, including dietary laws. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't know the difference. You'll go on just as you think living is right. Because does not God say there is a way to man that seems right, but leads to death? It leads to forbidden things. Things to think about. How fortunate you are that you've been set apart from by the Holy Spirit to know and understand these things. The choice you have is to live it. To live it. And you know if you're living it or you're not. Because I have to go back to my aunt when I first started in the church and everything, and there were times I would kind of back off a little bit. And my aunt would come up to me and she'd say, "Jeff, are you still attending church?" And I'd go, "Why would you say that?" She says, "Kyle, you kind of changed." So then when I said, "Okay, I get it," and went back to church and got more serious, she would notice. She goes, "Oh, you're back in church." I said, "Thank you." But I mean, that's what I'm saying, is this behavior, it is seen by others. Because they knew me one way, and they knew me the other way, and when I would go the wrong way, they would tell me. They would tell me, and I thank them for that. I hope your parents or friends do the same thing, saying, "Hey, you're not what you kind of used to be, you're slipping a little." Hear it. Evaluate it. Get back on the right track. So the church, I kind of want to focus on the church, because Pentecost is about the church. In John 10, verses 14 through 15, this was Christ speaking. He was speaking to Peter. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me." I knew that was going to happen. Sometimes I don't know enough about this phone. I know a lot about it, but it tricks me all the time. So, as I was saying, I am the good shepherd. This is Christ speaking. I know my sheep and they know me. How true is that? The life you live. You know who Christ is. You know what his sacrifice was. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrificed my life for the sheep. We are the sheep. Passover, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and then he was here for 40 days after that. And what was he preparing the disciples for? The Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? The church. And the church had its beginning. And then in John 10:16, he says, I have other sheep too. They are not this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock with one shepherd. And I thought about this. I said, who's he talking about here? Because over the last 2,000 years, the church has prevailed. Many were called over that time. Many were chosen. We are one. We do hear his voice and none others. So that's what he was telling Peter. I'm sure Peter's thinking, okay, what's this about? I hear what he says, but what this is about. And then in John 21, verses 15 through 16, he says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He was referring to the other disciples. Yes, Lord, Peter replied. And you have to think about what was going on with Peter. Because when he rejected the Lord at that time, when the rooster crowed and everything, can you imagine the remorse that he still had? Because he said he wept bitterly when he did that, when he denied Christ. So I could kind of put myself in his position. If I'm sure I've done some things that created some real deep remorse in some of my relationships and still hurts. I still remember it. And I put myself in Peter's place where Christ is saying these things to him. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. That's coming deep from within him. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. What's he indicating here? And then going on, in Matthew 16:18, it says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. We know that, and it's very, very true. Yes, the church has gone through periods of history where, as you know, when you read Revelations and the seven churches, there were certain characteristics of the church as it went through time. You know, and I sometimes wonder, okay, what does Laodicean mean? Because I would not call us Laodicean. We're too dedicated to God. We love him. We obey him. We believe him. But there's a history there of characteristics, and that's what I kind of look at and say, well, I'm not from that period. I mean, I could. But no, it's the survival of the church, just like Christ said. All the powers of hell will not conquer it. We're here today. We keep the teachings of the apostles and the disciples. We do not go away from that. We don't err in that. We keep it. And then in this one, okay, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Where it says, this promise is to you to your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. What happened on that day of Pentecost? The church. The church began. Now, once Peter received the Holy Spirit, he understood these things that were being saved to him, said to him. And we understand the history. The book of Acts is the history of that. But it's the point the church started. This is Jesus Christ's church. And we obey it and we follow the things that the apostles taught. Because when you go to Acts 26:18, it says, this was the purpose of the church, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Where did you hear that phrase, apart, set apart? So in concluding here, religion is a system of beliefs and practices that is relative to sacred matters, things set apart and forbidden. So as I reflected on my college education, and especially the courses I took in sociology about institutions, I'm glad I do remember it, because a lot of times graduates said, I'm done with it, I don't remember anything. Yeah, I did it then, I knew how to pass the test and didn't learn anything. But the institution stuck with me because as I watched the news, as I watched the things that are taking place in this country, I see the breaking down, and there's five important institutions. And it gives the understanding why. Because I believe that when God created us, he embedded certain things within us. The only problem was, is when Adam and Eve made the decision, they did. Because we did put institutions together. But unfortunately, the influencer of this age has gotten in there and corrupted it. But what the good news is when Jesus Christ returns, he will reestablish the right and proper institution for society. That's a day I look forward to. And where will it all start? The family. That's where it begins. And the church to teach the way that we're to go. Education system will change. It will teach the right and proper things of God so we have a peaceful and prosperous society. So you would ask, what was your point today, Jeff? Institutions. So that question is the Church of God an institution? The answer to that is absolutely yes. Because it teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to get along with one another. It teaches us to treat marriage and family with the right attitude. But most importantly, is teaching our children the right way to go.